A leaner Twitter could be a much, much meaner Twitter. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It's an uncertain Monday at Twitter since Elon Musk took over and started shaking things up. Last week, according to Bloomberg, he reassured employees he did not plan to lay off three quarters of the staff, as he reportedly told investors earlier. But the self-described free speech absolutist has made no secret of his desire to make some cutbacks, particularly around content moderation. Sarah Roberts is a professor and director of the UCLA Center for Critical Internet Inquiry, who also worked previously on Twitter's health research team. She says while content moderation is often framed as a political issue, it's much more than that. And heads up to listeners, the interview references abusive material involving children online.
Talking about having a social media platform, quote unquote, without content moderation is just an absurdity and it's not possible. So then the question becomes, if we know that there has to be some kind of baseline way to control material that may just not be suited for any kind of consumption, such as, let's say, child sexual abuse material. If we acknowledge that there has to be some way to intervene upon that, then the question becomes, where does one draw the line? And Elon Musk will find that he has to draw the line, or he has to have employees and staff who are trusted enough and who are knowledgeable enough in this space to make those decisions. And then he has to have people to implement it.
How labor intensive is this work? I mean, how does it actually work?
Typically, the generalists who work in the kind of operational day-to-day content moderation, they work for third-party labor provision firms. There's a disproportionate amount of this work that happens in places where labor is essentially cheap. It is very poorly paid compared to any other role in tech. It's really grueling work. If you ever thought about this and imagined that computers were doing some of the content moderation, that is true. But now, in some cases, they go through and vet the decisions that an automated machine learning algorithm, let's say, or some other kind of AI has made. More and more people have gotten involved in it. And they are evaluated on how many items they process, and they are evaluated on how accurate their decisions are. So it's a fairly stressful job in that regard as well.
Where AI is being used in this process, how successful has it been?
Well, it's definitely good at doing some things. Recognizing material that has already been flagged as inappropriate or unwanted, and automatically pulling that down very quickly before it circulates. And so, a use case for this is, again, unfortunately, child sexual exploitation material. And, you know, humans don't necessarily have to get involved in identifying it and being exposed to it. But whenever things get complex, whenever things require discernment, understanding why a symbol might be present, understanding the cultural meaning of particular turns of phrase, et cetera, the computer is only as good as the information that's been programmed into it. And those things change on a dime, and those things are very culturally and locally specific. That often takes a human being to evaluate.
Right. I remember during different stages of the pandemic, you know, as information, scientific understanding was changing quite frequently, that certain posts would get flagged, users would get, you know, kind of booted off for a while because of things that if a human looked at it, it would be clear that that is not, you know, misinformation.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a great case in point where something is like breaking and changing, not only maybe daily, but like hourly. Claims need to be evaluated by people who have the knowledge to do it. They need to be evaluated against the internal policies and rules that a company has, or against the legal mandates that they're operating under in a particular country or region. Those are really, really complex cognitive engagements when you think about it. I mean, all of the things that come to bear, you know, how does one decide that a particular post is misinformation? Well, you really have to understand context, read the information that's being asserted, know something about the situation as it's moving, et cetera.
So it sounds like humans are still the biggest backstop when it comes to content moderation.
We have to remember that there are humans in the loop at every step of the way. So somebody had to program that algorithm. Somebody tested it. People trained data for it by labeling data sets. So the idea that we might be in a moment at some point in the near future where humans are not involved in this activity is totally aspirational. Humans, as a central part of this, we can expect that to carry on. I think we probably all should try to know a little bit more about what that work entails as we go forward.
Sarah Roberts at UCLA. And now for some related links. Sarah Roberts wrote a book all about content moderators. It's called Behind the Screen: Content Moderation in the Shadows of Social Media. We'll link to that at our website, marketplacetech.org. She interviewed moderators from Silicon Valley to the Philippines about the often invisible work they do and the emotional toll it takes on them. In fact, there have been multiple lawsuits against the social media platforms for not doing enough to take care of these workers' mental health. YouTube this year came to a $4.3 million settlement in such a case. And in one of the biggest suits so far, Facebook agreed to more than $50 million in damages in 2020. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.